This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome to The Real Sex Education. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as ever, by accredited sex and relationship therapist, Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Mum, we're back, and we've had our little moment. We've had Christmas, we've had New Year's, we did a fun few episodes about that. We called that Series 5.5, the five episodes of the interludes between series, but now we are starting a new series, Series 6.
Series 6!
Oh, come on. You are so good. You are so bloody good. No, really, that's the sort of stuff I love. This series as well, we are coming with... Wow.
Yes.
What have I got in my hand?
You've got a mug.
Yeah, and what does the mug say on it?
It says... Oh.
What?
The Real Sox Education.
Yeah, that's how we're known on Instagram and everything. We've got little mugs for Christmas, Real Sex Education mugs.
Aww.
So if you would like one at home, do let us know, because, you know, who knows, maybe we could make this a thing for everyone. I mean, what do you think about the mugs?
Well, do you want to run a competition so that people can try and win one?
Ooh, yeah, but what should the question be? I was about to say, what should the answer be? We should keep that secret.
I don't know, you're the producer.
Oh, God. Yeah, we always have these production meetings on air, which isn't very helpful.
Tell me to bring my mug. I would have brought my mug.
What? I'm just drinking out of my mug.
Yeah, well,
I just thought you'd use your mug. Mm, where is your mug? Have you lost it already?
Well, I don't have a drink because you told me not to bring food and drink to the recording. You said definitely don't do it. I wouldn't mind, but the minute you say don't do it, you do it yourself.
Yeah, and
every
to be honest,
time.
I mean, you can hear this. I've also got some gingerbread men left over from Christmas that I'm still having. I haven't quite got through them yet.
Oh, crunch, crunch, flipping crunch. Is it gingery?
No, it's delicious.
What's in the mug?
Water.
Water?
Yeah, is that really boring?
Yeah.
Well, apparently, as a presenter, the worst thing you can have is something that has any sort of milk in it, because it makes your throat sort of clog up.
Singers aren't supposed to have milk, are they?
Yeah, neither are professional sex people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, clogs up their...
Who knew?
Their throat. So, okay, let's get into it. We've
have
got
you heard
more...
that thing about how dentists can tell if you've recently had oral sex?
I saw this on TikTok.
Yeah.
Is this true?
Well, the other day, my dentist nurse said, I've got atrophied salivary ducts or something like that. And the dentist said, oh, yes, nothing gets past us. We notice everything.
What?
Right. So I'm thinking, oh, my God, she's looking in the top of my mouth to see if I've had, you know. And yeah. So I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be really nervous going to the dentist in future.
Yeah, I know. Well, oh God, let's not dig any deeper into that.
No, but no, I mean, cavity. just because, no, it doesn't matter whether you have or not. It's just the idea that they're like, oh, I'm a bit curious about this one, you know.
But the thing is, because I saw this on TikTok. So obviously, as you taught me, as a good mother, you've taught me to, you know, not trust absolutely everything, be cynical,
fact check me, so yeah.
Well, I fact check you a lot, actually, you know what, and I now is a good point actually to say, to people listening, I'm very sorry, because actually, whilst I'm fact-checking now, and a lot of these websites, including Pink News, etc., are saying dentist confirms they can tell if you've given a blowjob recently, what I didn't do was we had one of our Christmas episodes, or one of our festive episodes, and we talked about the man with the biggest penis in the world. Now.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah, this is my journalistic. You used to be a journalist.
Mm.
I guess in some ways you still are. Were you ashamed of me?
I wasn't ashamed of you.
But basically, I talked about Roberto Esquivel Cabrera, the man with supposedly the largest penis in the world. But when doctors have tried to like inspect this penis and stuff, he has it in like wrapping, and he won't get it out.
Well, it's no, this is the thing.
It's crazy.
It's in three sections, isn't it?
Mm.
Like a cake.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm. And he's wrapped it up. And the thing is, they've done like he let them do scans, but he didn't let them see it. And the scans have sort of shown that it's a lot of swelling and a lot of foreskin, but actually the penis it's big, but it's still not, the actual penis isn't that big.
Didn't someone say he'd been hanging weights off it?
There's suggestions that people have said he's been obsessed his entire life with making his penis bigger. So you might say, well, yeah, the member is still very large, but because of all the swelling and, you know, maybe some of the potential damage he's done to it, a lot of people discredit the fact that he actually indeed has the biggest penis. And in fact, we got someone who messaged in and said, with all the stuff going on around men, how they feel about penises and penis size and stuff, you know, we need to be more careful. But we did actually spend the rest of that episode talking about how penis size didn't actually matter that much. So I felt fine about that. What I didn't feel fine about, though, is saying that he had the biggest penis in the world. I think I should have given the caveat that most of it's foreskin.
Well, you would have done if you'd known.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. That's my job. I need to know. So apologies to everyone out there. Mum, apologies to you as well. But listen, what we won't apologise for, at least for the moment, is dentists being able to tell whether you've... But how the hell can they tell?
Well, apparently there's bruising or something, or marks on your upper palate.
It's usually bruising on the soft palate.
Oh, like that means like little spots. Little blood spots on the top of...
Interesting. And actually, now it's coming back to me. I feel like on TikTok, the guy was like, we wouldn't be able to tell with 100% actually every single time. But, you know, in certain scenarios, it is the case. So anyway, be careful when you go into the dentist, everyone. Right. Let's get to some of these questions that you guys sent into us on Instagram, TikTok and X.
Formerly known as Twitter.
We are at the RSE pod on all of those. You can find in the bio of those as well, and the bio of this episode, a link to an anonymous Google form where you can send us anonymous questions, where the majority of these today have come from. Shall we get started?
Oh, was that an actual question?
I don't get what's happening. When I just feel like you just think, like it's like the TikTok, Instagram and X thing. You seem always surprised by your role in that it's coming up. It feels like when you're like, well, he's talking, I'm just going to wait.
I'm just waiting it out.
You're not listening. This is terrible.
You give me a script if you expect me to react.
Listener, I want you to know I give her the scripts these days. Because I bet you there's a piece of paper next to you with the entire script that I've written on it. Is there or isn't there?
No.
Then you haven't printed it off. You always print it off. You're so good. What have you got there? Well, that's for a different episode.
Okay. Is it?
Yeah.
All right. This one. Questions. Does age really matter? Would you like me to read out the question?
Would you like to? Yeah, go for it.
It's a script. It's not a script, is it? It's just a question.
Yeah, it's true. The scripts are loose.
It doesn't say, oh, now Dig says this. Now Kate says this. Now Dig says this. I mean, if you would prompt me or cue me, I would respond. But I'm just sitting there waiting for my turn. And I think it's a rhetorical question and it's not. And I'm supposed to answer. How am I supposed to know?
I don't know. I just want you to be an engaged respondent. That's all I've been asking for my entire life.
I'm daydreaming, waiting for it to all end.
This explains a lot. I honestly can't. Yeah, what a great start to the series. If anyone thought this was scripted and we were reading from a script and it was back and forth, they would think it was the worst written thing in the world. So thank God it isn't.
It's just a list of questions.
But do you know what? Would you like to read the first question? Because it's quite long. Yeah, exactly. But unfortunately, as is customary on this podcast, we need to read them verbatim. So okay. Would you like to go ahead?
I will read it and you can answer it. Okay. Hello. I recently listened to your daddy.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I don't want to answer this one.
Listened to your daddy issues episode, and I've recently been struggling with what I think is daddy issues. I'm currently a 19-year-old female. It makes it sound like at another moment.
I won't be
might
a 19-year-old
not be a 90, female. A 19-year-old female, and I have a massive crush on a 57-year-old, 38-year age gap. Sorry, there's no punctuation here. So it says a 57-year-old me. 57-year-old.
Yeah, well, they put in parentheses.
Brackets, 38-year age gap. Right. Yeah. So I think there's supposed to be a full stop there. So me and this guy get on very well.
Do you want to mark this like a teacher? And should we send it back to them?
That's a good idea. And we are great friends. However, he has a wife and children. And unfortunately, there is a big age gap, 38 years.
Yeah.
I have openly spoken about my love for this person to my friends and family, and people are constantly joking about it. Ew, your daddy issues make me uncomfortable. You're too obsessed. This guy I fancy, who is 58, knows I'm completely smitten by him, and he's been completely understanding and supportive and is quite affectionate with hugs and kisses on the cheeks. However, I feel embarrassed by my hormones for having feelings towards this person. Is there any advice you could give? And is this wrong of me, as I feel it's shameful? However, we are both really happy as friends. His wife is also very accepting of me.
Wow.
I'm a straight 19-year-old woman.
Okay, can I just quickly say as well, you know the bit where she goes, I'm currently a 19-year-old female and I have a massive crush on a 57-year-old. Later on, she goes, this guy I fancy, who is 58. I feel like people are changing ages in this question.
Well, maybe it took her a year to write the question. Yeah. When she said, I'm currently a 19-year-old female, maybe that was more accurate than we realise.
You're not going to make me answer this, are you?
Yeah, go for it.
I think there's a lot of really interesting things about this question, and it is absolutely fascinating. Mm-hmm. So, how the hell do these people know each other? 19-year-old girl and a 58-year-old man, or 57, we're unsure. Currently, 58. She's completely smitten by him. And what I don't... The last line is such an interesting curveball. His wife is also very accepting of me.
Made me wonder if she's a unicorn.
What is a unicorn?
A third person. A third person female who gets involved in a swinging situation or a threesome
situation. So it's like
situation.
A couple are looking for a third, that sort of thing. Interesting. Potentially. Okay, but let's rewind a little bit. 58-year-old man, 19-year-old woman. The question is, does age really matter?
I know that's the question because it says so at the top of the page.
Yeah, that's the title of the episode, and I'd love for you to answer the question.
Oh, was that the question? And is this the cue now? Is this where I speak?
Yes.
Was that your answer?
I don't want to answer it because I'm not the professional. This is the perfect moment where I can go, wow, this looks tough, to the professional. We now turn to the expert, Kate Campbell.
Oh, dear. Right, so lots of things here. So lots of people have crushes when they're trying something out. So this is a relatively young person. And so it's totally understandable to look for somebody who is safe and unavailable. And I think most of us would be able to say, oh, I've had a crush on somebody who is unavailable because they're married, because they already have a partner, because they live in another country, because they're gay and you're not, or whatever. That often happens. And so it sounds as if this fella and his partner are very understanding of what's happened. It's probably a family friend and they're not taking it super seriously.
Mm.
They're just saying, well, it's the thing that will pass. And it may well be.
Mm.
This person is feeling that they've done something wrong by having a crush. Nothing wrong in, you know, crushes are crushes. So long as you don't actually damage the existing relationship, the guy's primary relationship, so long as you're not getting in the way of that and actually doing anything to sabotage it, there isn't anything wrong, is there? It's just a crush is just a crush. And it's a nice way. I mean, it's almost like having a daydream, you know, in a way, because you're trying out in your head ways of being and ways of thinking about things. I don't think there's, you know, any harm in that.
I'm careful because, like you say, it's interesting. This person does feel like they're on the stand defending themselves straight away here. And like you say, maybe so I need to be careful with my wording here. But do you think maybe things become a little more problematic, shall we say, or a little bit more in the red zone where we shouldn't really tread to when let's say plans start being made or these hugs and kisses start going on for a little while? Because there is that line about he knows I'm completely smitten by him and he has been completely understanding and supportive and is quite affectionate with hugs and kisses on the cheeks.
Hugs and kisses on the cheeks.
There could still be, you know, I hug my friends. I would hug older friends of mine. I would kiss them on the cheeks in the sort of, I remember the Herbs, which is basically like the Sims, but the urban Sims, they'd call it the Euro kiss. And it would be the, you know, kisses on the cheek when you say hello to each other. That might be fine. If it's like a, thank you so much for everything you've done. Kiss on the cheek. That's not really.
But it doesn't sound as though it is. And as this person is friends with the wife as well, then it sounds as though that everyone's very open about what's going on and it's seen for what it is, which is a crush that will presumably pass at some point. And it is a safe way of thinking about, you know, being in a relationship and what that's like. I mean, this might be somebody who's never had a relationship, in which case, you know, why not fantasize about somebody who feels safe? Mm. On the other hand, you know, if you have had a relationship and it's ended badly or it wasn't great, then again, why not fantasize about somebody who's safe? It's a nice segue into a more appropriate relationship. I don't think the age gap has got anything to do with it, really, in this case. It's not, it's irrelevant. Apart from the fact that it makes it less appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. But basically, what we're saying here is, or am I understanding right? You're saying if it's a fantasy, and let's pick up on her own wording here. The first word she uses is massive crush, which makes it all seem a bit younger and sort of harmless anyway. Mm. That's what we need to tap into here. Also, the crush and the fantasy, often with these scenarios, as you know, as you quite rightly said, Mum, the whole point is you're thinking about someone that you can't have. And that's almost why this is the fun bit. I think actually, if you ever did try and do something, you haven't really thought that bit through. That's not where the crush is. The fun is thinking about it and the imagination and the fantasy. Mm. This in actuality, as I think you know deep down, wouldn't work. And that's not part of the fantasy either anyway. It actually working and him leaving his wife and you guys starting a life together. That's not really the fantasy.
The part of the fantasy that works for this person is the age gap. If they were saying, well, this is not going to work because I could mess up the life of this man who is in love with his wife and has children and would think it was weird, probably, to be lusting after a 19-year-old, which he probably would, then that's all reality. But let's park that and let's say, oh, it's so sad that there's such a big age gap. That's more amenable to the fantasy, isn't it, than, I could be messing up someone's life here. Let's not.
Yeah, you know. No, you're right.
So let's put that out of the way and let's focus on, do you agree the age gaps makes it impossible? Oh, and that's why we're not doing it. Not because this wasn't just never going to happen.
Basically, what we're saying is it's a crush. You've admitted that. You know that it's a fantasy.
Nothing wrong
it's
with
fine.
A crush.
Then game on.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
What's the matter?
I don't know. I think that's fine. I think that's fine. Is that fine?
Well, what's not fine for you?
The kisses and the hugs.
It's your peck on the cheek.
Yeah, but not if I'm going home and going, God, that was fucking amazing.
Are you kidding? Stop
what?
Turning it into something horrible. It's
I know. Well, then, because this is a thing. You're right. That's where my head goes. And that's why I think we need to bonk me on the head and send me to horny jail.
This is not someone who's secretly plotting to break them up. I have openly spoken about my love for this person to my friends and family who go, ooh.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. This is a fun, fancy fairy tale. She knows it. She says massive crush. It's all fine.
Enjoy
Wonderful.
It.
Wonderful. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, fine. Let's have a break. Maybe
oh,
I need
dear.
To lie down.
You do. Yeah,
this is why I ask the questions, you answer the questions. We leave me out of it. Let's have a few more questions when we come back after this.
People often ask me what my regular London pub is, but that assumes there's a pub I can easily return to, so please stop asking that.
London Pub Reviews, written by Paul Ewan and featuring Tim Key. A Hattrick podcast.
Did you save my seat? Why? I'm at a completely different pub now, with different seats. Catch up.
Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Drinking with dignity. Yes, sir. Yes, madam. That's me all over.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Whew, okay, right. We have calmed down. It's got hot in the studio. It really has. But we're going to have a few more questions for you, ma'am. So I was going to ask, are you ready? But you're probably not listening. Here we go. This is an age-themed episode today. I think this is, I've tried to pick a few questions that are age-themed. So let's keep on track with that. My partner is older than myself and having a hard time staying erect. How can I help in that department? I'm a 38-year-old man. Again, I've read that verbatim. I think she means she's a 30-year-old woman. He's a 38-year-old man.
Yes, he's having a soft time staying erect, actually.
Nice, that is very
accurate.
Good. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But it is Love normal that. To find it more difficult to get an erection, keep an erection as you get older. And by the time you're 38, you would probably notice quite a big difference with, you know, now and when you were 18. Mm. So it is normal. So you need a bit more constant stimulation or a bit more stimulation. It isn't constant. It sounds like, you know, grabbing people all the time. But you do need more stimulation. It's not so an 18-year-old would get an erection and it just would stay. And you would, with no stimulation, just the thought of being sexual, probably keep it there. But that doesn't happen as you get older. You need a bit more stimulation. Now, a lot of women think if a man's got an erection, a lot of partners, it's not just women, but women. If it was another man, they'd probably be more familiar with their own penis and stuff. Mm-mm. But they think if there's an erection there, that man is really fancying me. That may not be the case. I mean, sometimes because an erection's been stimulated, it's physiological, the erection's there, but maybe the arousal isn't. That's not always the case. Mm. And people don't realise that ejaculation and orgasm are different things. So you can even ejaculate without the pleasure of an orgasm or have a pretty rotten orgasm, you know, but both can happen, then it's not the same event, although they often happen at the same time, usually happen at the same time. Mm. And arousal, you know, if someone doesn't have an erection, they could still be incredibly aroused. And people can orgasm without an erection. So that is possible. So there are all sorts of reasons why you should not take for granted that an erection suggests someone's aroused or not aroused, because it doesn't necessarily follow. Mm. So what it really means is a bit more stimulation is going to make sure that the erection continues, or a less stressed person. Now, if you're getting worried and saying, oh, you don't fancy me, because his erection isn't there all the time, then he's going to get stressed and he's going to have more difficulty getting and keeping an erection anyway. So you want to chill the heck out of this a lot more. I mean, a lot of people find about this age, I see a lot of people coming and saying, oh, when my partner's doing oral sex with me, having oral sex with me, his erection goes. Well, you know, he's busy concentrating on your clitoris or your vulva. You know, he's got a job, and that's what he's thinking about. And yeah. and he may be very aroused, but the focus is not on his penis. And so next minute, back it'll pop. But you know that does not mean he's not enjoying this process. And that's what a lot of people think. So they say, oh, don't do that to me anymore. And they cut it out of the repertoire, which is a real shame.
Oh, wow. So they go, well, you're not, you lose
you're
your
clearly not enjoying it, so don't do it.
Yeah,
and there it goes. Bang, it's gone. And that's it. And that happens a lot. This is really common. So that's one thing to really think about. Don't start making assumptions about what he's feeling, because you are not his penis. You cannot know what his penis is feeling. Or what he thinks or feels. And if he says it's okay, then it's okay. If he is having problems, if he thinks he's having problems with getting an erection, then it is worth getting that checked with a GP. Just go to a GP, get your testosterone checked. Maybe try some Viagra if you're anxious. Sometimes that's something like a Viagra Cialis, one of those drugs, can be really helpful just to give you back your confidence. Even if you don't want to rely on it. So it is worth getting that checked out. But usually it's just a matter of aging, and it comes and goes a bit more. And don't get hung up on it. The more you get hung up on it, the more likely it is to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess it is, like you say, it's that thing of, like, if they think it's a problem, I guess maybe the difficulty here, the writer is thinking, well, I've noticed it, but I don't want to bring it up with my partner because then it will make it even more of a thing. But what do I do on my end? And I guess what you do on your end is, if they bring it up, you be supportive and don't freak out about it too much. You can still have a lot of fun without. And actually, would it not be true as well if you go, okay, let's take the penis equation out of it. Let's try and have as much fun as we can without an erect penis involved. And let's do loads of other stuff, because there's so much other things you can do. And guess what? I bet. A little way down the line, you go, hello, what's he doing here?
Yeah. Well, I think it's more about she's saying staying erect, that she's having a problem staying erect, which is why my mind is going to, oh, when he's concentrating on something, maybe it doesn't stay there so much. That's why I thought of oral sex, because it is something that I know, because so many people come and talk about it, come to therapy and say this happens.
And they come
saying, oh, you know, we've got terrible erection problems. And you said, well, you haven't actually. I haven't got any
erection problems at all. He's got a job now. He's got a clock in.
And the thing is, she's saying, I'm 30, he's 38, as though this is such a massive age difference. It really isn't very much.
But, not after the one we've just heard.
Well, no. But if she's used to 30-year-old men, then a 38-year-old man, maybe maybe he would have a few more difficulties with erection, not difficulties with erection, but it's not, because it's not abnormal for it to come and go at that age. The thing is, I'm always saying to people, if you want your erection back, just stimulate yourself to the guys. Just stimulate yourself. So she says, what can I do to help? And it sounds like she thinks, should I be wearing more lingerie? Should I, should I be stimulating him in a different way? No, I mean, he could let him do it himself. You know, if it's gone and he wants it back, he can do it. You know, or take your hand and put it there. I mean, it really doesn't matter. As you said, any little, you know, once he's concentrating on his own pleasure again, back it'll pop.
But it's the job that's the problem. It's the focusing on the problem.
And it doesn't mean he's not aroused. He might be hugely aroused.
It's that focusing on doing a job, getting hard, staying hard, that job, rather than just the pleasure bit.
If he's just relaxing and enjoying oral sex, or if he's just relaxing in general, if he's just really just having a nice time, then that's absolutely great. If you do think there's a problem, then get it fixed. I mean, bear in mind, if you're quite an adventurous and energetic 30-year-old, you know, you may have worried him. He may be trying to keep up. He may be thinking, wow, I'm worried that this is going to go wrong. If it's an exciting new relationship, he might have a bit of performance anxiety as well.
Yeah,
there is that.
Exactly.
And especially if you're kind of one of those, right, we've done it, let's do it again. At 38, you probably can't go again that soon.
Exactly. You might need to wait a bit longer for round two. Okay, amazing. Speaking of waiting longer for round two, let's have the second round of part two of questions. This is a lovely one. I'm going to read verbatim again. Hello to the best sex podcast. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love the energy between the mother and the son. I am traumatized from Kiwi experiments. Perhaps I could recover with therapy. Very good. That is someone that listens regularly. We love that. Thank you so much for listening. My question is, I am a stay-at-home father and my baby girl is 1 year old. Is it normal for my baby to see my body? Is it healthy for my baby to see me? How would you suggest to approach it? I'm 36-year-old male, he, him, Kurdish from, can you help me out with this one?
Mesopotamia.
Very good. Modern Iraq, living in the United States. Mm-hmm. So, thoughts?
About?
Are you texting? I can't believe you're texting on air.
I was just looking to see what
Mesopotamia
Kiwi experiments were.
Mum, can you not remember our kissing episode?
Oh, that's what it is.
Kiwi experiment.
Oh, it's what we did.
Yes.
Oh, I think you need to put a clip of that back in to remind people. Oh, God, yeah, I'm traumatised by that as well. It was awful.
I think, well, that's why I was congratulating them for being such a good listener, because they've been listening for ages.
Well, clearly I need to pay more attention.
Exactly. If you don't know, go back to our episode on how to kiss properly. We followed the advice of TikTok, which was their suggested answer, which was to kiss a kiwi or kiss a fruit. Anyway, as you can imagine, I'd recommend watching our YouTube video for that one, but don't do that.
Oh no, it really is. It's grim.
Yeah, it's grim. It is grim. Anyway, right. What do you think then? My question is, stayed at home father, my baby girl is 1 year old. Is it normal for my baby to see my body? I imagine they mean their naked body. Is it normal and is it healthy for them to see me? How would you suggest I approach it?
They're probably not going to remember all that much consciously at 1 year old. But generally speaking, I'd say keep your body to yourself, actually. Surprisingly enough.
Yeah, that's sort of where I lean as well. I'm trying to get into the psyche here, because obviously there's that all that stuff about your baby and your bare skin and it being good for that skin-on-skin contact and stuff.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of that going on.
But,
so like,
I mean,
you know,
top half is
yeah,
fine.
That's what I mean. Keep that, you know, but, yeah, the shirt off and like and the hugs and cuddles, I understand that's really good. But I sort of think, yeah, what's the point? Is it healthy? I don't think so. I don't imagine there's any research into it. I don't think it would have any sort of effect. Is it healthy for them to see a naked body of a man, especially their dad? Probably not.
There has been research done. And I think in the 60s, God, you know, going back a bit, 60s and 70s, there was a different approach, you know, to, oh, everybody being really open about bodies and stuff. And people would walk around and people were very proud of, we all walk around naked in our house and stuff like that. Then research started being done into the traumatic effects of walking around naked and that sort of thing. And, you know, and the idea that children don't consent to see your penis and or any other parts, you know, keep them to yourself, because they haven't chosen to do that. And, you know, children should be covering up themselves as well as soon as they're old enough, you know, to start being conscious of their bodies.
Yeah.
The idea of privacy and consent is really important to start thinking about early. And it's not okay to say, oh, well, close members of the family, like brothers and sisters and mums and dads, are fine to look at parts of one another's bodies. Well, actually, no. Some people prefer privacy. And I think that's what the more recent research shows. And there's lots of issues like, you know, if you have an uncircumcised penis and your child doesn't, do they worry that there's something wrong with theirs? So many boys, and this is one of the reasons why the research was changed, so many boys have been upset by seeing their tiddler compared with their dad's big penis. And if it's erect, then it's quite often frightening. So, no. Absolutely not. is the current thinking.
I think that's fair enough. And, you know, I understand the thinking of, obviously, like you say, the 60s of being like, you know, it's free love, bro, like whatever. You know, we were born naked, we should be naked. But
hippies.
But, you know, I understand the feeling. And there's part of me, it's like, yeah, I love that sort of idea in my head, I love. But then it's like, but then this is a child and you have to live in the world. You live in the United States. We live in the UK.
Mm.
You're then throwing them into a world where that, let's be real, isn't the case mm. on a day-to-day basis. And it might be unfortunate to bring them up in such a naked household and then be like, right, now you have to... But then suddenly there's new rules and every time you go outside, you might be setting them up for a disconnect there.
Yeah.
Of a really naked household, but then everything else is actually like, no, I don't know. It doesn't sit right with me, but I understand where it's coming from. I think it's a really, like, it's the, like I said, the skin on skin, baby against your skin contact, all that sort of stuff. I understand where this is coming from.
And you go to swimming pools and things like that and you wear very little. I mean, that's, you know, that's all okay. It's just,
at the end of the day,
a bit of respect.
Yeah. And then this is about a father who wants to do the best for their kid. And that's really beautiful thing that should be celebrated. I just don't know if this is the path, this is the way.
And
wonderful.
Keep your fair hairy feet covered as well.
Was that aimed at me or? Yeah. Okay. Good. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for listening, everyone. We will be back on Thursday.
Hey.
Yeah. So we're back to two episodes a week. It's a big one on Thursday. It's our most requested episode
ever.
So we'll leave you wondering and pontificating on what that is. In the meantime, if you want to help us out, you can give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Go to our show page there. You'll find out how to do that. On Apple, you've got to scroll down to the bottom, but get there and do it. If you're on YouTube, we're having a great time on YouTube. I think we might, hopefully, by the time you see this, we will have got 1,000 subscribers, but go and give us a subscribe over there, give us a like, all that good stuff. Comment on what you want to see in the future. Keep sending in the questions. The anonymous Google form is in the bio of this episode and our social media channels. I think that's all the housekeeping. Make sure you've subscribed and we'll see you next time for some more Real Sex Education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.